All right, Jeremiah chapter 6, please. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. Jeremiah chapter 6, and we're going to read responsively. We're going to read the even verses together out loud. And I will read the odd verses by myself out loud as we work our way from verse 8 down through verse 19 of Jeremiah chapter 6. We'll begin together in verse 8 of Jeremiah and chapter 6. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thy hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. So as we continue to talk about these things of the old paths, this passage in Jeremiah, I know it's really just one verse here, but we've been reading these 19 verses as we are, not all of them, maybe about 11 or 12 of them. But we've been reading these and the great description of the judgment and reason for punishment of God upon his people was because they had no regard for the old paths. You understand that as God created the world, I know that there's some debate on creation and things about creation, whether or not there was another civilization before our civilization, etc. You can go on to a bunch of tangents on that. And there are some that have different theories and different things. And some of those even include aliens. Ooh. Okay. I'm not concerned about that. All I know is that the earth was without form and without void, and that God caused the 6 days of creation, and he put things into action and for this world that I'm a part of. Okay? That's all I care about. All right? I don't care about Mars or you know, life somewhere else, or even life before Adam and Eve, if there was any. That doesn't bother me at all, because guess what? It doesn't affect me. So why would I be concerned with it? Okay? So enough said on that. And they said, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, if you haven't heard about it, don't worry about it, okay? But if you have heard about it,
don't worry about it either, okay? all I'm trying to say is God created man. We're okay with that, right? And he created man in his image. You know that God instructed man how to live? He did. He showed man how to live. And guess what man decided to do? I'm not going to live that way. All right? So we're keeping this really simple, all right? We're not getting into quoting the scriptures. We're just going to keep it real simple. But listen, man said, I'm not going to live that way. And man fell, right? He no longer was a perfect creation. There was iniquity, sin found in him. And man, from that point, was cursed. But guess what God did? Even after man chose to sin against God and chose to break fellowship with God, God said, let me teach you how to live again. And he did. And he taught man how to live. And he taught him about the sacrifice. And he taught him about how these things. He taught two young men about what to bring as a sacrifice. You understand? This is after the fall. After mankind fell, God picked him up and said, I'm going to show you how to live again. And he showed him. And guess what? It was a 50-50 proposition. Half of them decided to follow after God, and the other half decided not to. Abel brought the right sacrifice. Cain said, I have a better idea. Did God show them how to live? Yes. Did God show them what sacrifice to bring? Yes. One chose to walk in the old paths. The other chose not to. Well, guess what happened again? You understand, this has been something going on for a long time. That's why God says here to his people, ask for the old paths. They're established. They've been this way. I'm the Lord. I change not. Folks, why are people still today trying to change God? How many churches did you pass coming here today? Come on now. And they weren't all this kind of church. So you've got this kind of church, this kind of church, this kind of church, this kind of church. Hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of churches. Why? Because there are still people today trying to change the old paths. They're trying to do their own, I've got a better idea. Oh wait, we can serve God better this way. Oh, wouldn't it be more uplifting if we all could get involved in this and feel like we're worshiping God? Well, I don't care how you feel about how you worship God. We ought to worship God how He wants to be worshiped. I don't care if the pathway looks better. I don't care if it feels better. I care that it's the right way. I care that it's the old path. I care that it's God's way. Listen, I'm sure that Cain's vegetables were the best organic vegetables you could get. Certified and everything. That's all fine and dandy. But God said, I want this as a sacrifice. A spotless lamb. Prepared this way. Given in this attitude and spirit. It doesn't matter if Cain thought something was better. Because it wasn't God's way. Folks, listen to me. There may be, in man's eyes, better ways to worship God. But I'm going to stick with God's way. I don't care if it's better. Because it's God's way. It's what we ought to be concerned with. This is God's book, so I'm going to follow it. This is God's path, so I'm going to follow it. Because not because I think it's better, not because I think anything that I think about it, but because it's what God says. If the people of God would have just followed after God, they wouldn't have had all these problems. They wouldn't have had all these captivities. They wouldn't have had all these punishments. They wouldn't have seen all these tens and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people perish because of judgment and because of punishment. They could have had it pretty good. Folks, think about your life. And think about all the times that you've gotten off of God's path. Was it a pleasant experience or a difficult one? Yeah. I just tell my kids, hey, you know what? You could have life really good here in this house if you just do one thing. O-B-E-Y. God says obedience is better than sacrifice. We've talked about that. You know what sacrifice was set up for? For atonement. In other words, getting right with God. If you just obey in the first place, guess what doesn't need to happen? Sacrifice. Yeah, that's why obedience is better. Now, I know I've preached a message like that. I'm not going to preach it again today. But I want you to look here. That was all introduction. We've talked about the old paths. We've talked about the ways, standing in the ways. We've talked about the good way. Now I want you to look at what God says here as he's going on and he's talking to the people. God still, once again, he's extending grace and mercy to these people. They've defied him. They've forgot him. They've chosen a different path. He says to them, please, let me give to you the old paths again. Just ask me and I'll tell you how to live your life. Finding the good way. Now look what he says. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? He then states, and walk therein. Today we're going to talk about walking in the old paths. God gives them an opportunity to choose the path to walk in. You know, you're going to walk in a path in your life. But the question is, which one? Which one? Which path are you going to choose? Take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Again, in the Old Testament, just a few books, I suppose, to the left there. 1 Samuel chapter 2. You know, this is the story of the prophet Samuel as a little boy. And his mother, Hannah, comes and prays for a son. She wants a son. She begs God for one. The priest Eli perceives that she's drunk. And he tells him, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just so full of grief and so full of emotion that my mouth is moving, but there's no words coming out. And she tells him about her request and such and so forth. Anyways, you know the story. Samuel's born. His mom brings him up and then at the right time brings him to the house of God to serve God in the temple. In the tabernacle. So we know that this is happening. All these things are taking place here. God is working in the heart of this young man. But look at chapter 2 and verse 27. It says here, in verse 26, that the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both of the Lord and also with men. Verse 27 says, and there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt and Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire unto the children of Israel? So the man of God is speaking to Eli the priest and asking him all these questions. And basically what he's saying, he says, didn't I show you the old paths? Didn't I show you the way, the good way? Didn't I show you the way that you should walk in? He says in verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father, now listen to this, should walk before me forever. This is an indictment on Eli and his dealings with his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and these two boys were vile and wicked before God. They chose a different path. He reminds them, you were shown the right path. You were shown the old ways. You were shown the good path. He said, why are you kicking at it? Why are you discarding it? Why are you setting it aside and walking on your own path? He said that you were supposed to walk before me forever. That's how you were commanded. And can I say to you today, child of God, that we should walk in the old paths. Why are we kicking at the things of God and saying, no, these aren't good anymore, and no, this isn't the way anymore, and no, that's old-fashioned, and that's out of date, and that's not to be followed anymore. Let's take this path. Who are we to decide such a thing? Can I radiate? That's a new word. I can't even say what I want to. Reiterate is what I wanted to say. I want to say it again. Folks, the old paths are the paths. It's the way that we should walk. I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care how you think about it. I don't care what society says. It's still valid. God said to Eli, why are you doing this? You are supposed to be walking before me forever. Hey, how long is forever? It's forever. How long is the old path good for, folks? Oh, it's only good till the year 2000. It expired with Y2K, right? No. It doesn't have a date on it, Brother Cecil. That's right. I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. God's paths are still the good way. And we should walk in them forever. That thing got in my way. Why not? What has God done that we walk in a different path? Can anybody tell me what God has done that we should abandon His path? No. You look through the history of the people of Israel. Was there a time that God left them? No. They always left Him first. You say, but yeah, God forsook them. Yes, but only after they had forsaken Him. If they would have continued down the old paths, God would have walked in lockstep with them every step of the way. As they were going down through the paths of life, God and the children of Israel were walking on the same path. Let's go back to the garden. I already went there, right? God and Adam and Eve were walking on the same path. Who left? Adam and Eve left. As they were walking, he picked them up, he reconciled them back to himself, and he gave them a promise, and they're walking together. Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, and they're going down the path. Who left? Cain. Do you see the pattern here, folks? So as Israel, called by God and chosen by God, they're walking down the path of the old ways, the old paths in the good way. Who left? Israel. And who did God bring back to the old path? Israel. And as they continued to walk down the good way in the old path, who left again? Israel. Did God ever leave the good way? No. Did He ever leave the old paths? No. Has He still never left? Yes. He still has never left. God is there, folks. We're the ones that forsake Him. We're the ones that stop walking in the old paths. We're the ones that stop walking in the good way. Because God can't leave His path. It's the only path He knows. It's the only path there is to Him. We're the ones that stop walking. The Bible says that we should walk in the old paths. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 8. You see, where are we going on this journey today, Pastor? We're going on the we should walk in the old paths path. I thought it was interesting that there were several key passages of scriptures where the Bible mentioned that we should walk in these paths. That was the first one. Look at this one. In 1 Kings chapter 8, it's also mentioned in Chronicles. Same story, written twice. This is Solomon's dedication. We're not going to read the whole of chapter 8 here. It's a lengthy chapter. But I do want to give you a few things out of here as we go through. Look at verse 22. 1 Kings chapter 8. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. So here, Solomon is giving a dedication address. He has finished the temple. He has prepared a place for God to dwell and habitation here on this earth according to God's specifications and according to the things that his father David had collected. He says this, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee. Hallelujah. If we could just wrap our heads around that, we'd all be better off. There's no God like thee in heaven above or in earth beneath who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him. You notice here, God's not the problem, folks. That thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. Do you notice something here? How are they walking? Before God. Where's God? In the old path. Which path has God never left? The old path. So where are the children of Israel at this point in time? In the old path. The good way. He says, and now, God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. O Lord, my God, hearken unto the cry and to their prayer, which thy servant prayeth before thee this day. So Solomon is dedicating this thing to God. He's talking to God and he's pouring out his heart to God. Look at verse 29. That thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place also. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and to thy people, Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, when thou hearest, forgive. He goes on and talks about them transgressing against God and them coming back to God. But do you see how he goes back and forth, how the people of God are in the old way and they turn off of the old way and they come back to the old path and they come back to God. Look at verse 33. When thy people Israel be smitten down before thine enemy, he says, because you're a rotten, awful, terrible God. Is that what he says? No. Why are they smitten down before their enemies? Well, they're smitten down because they have sinned against thee. He says, when they pray, when they're smitten down, and they shall turn again to thee. Well, what are they doing? They're coming back to the old paths. Why are they smitten down before their enemies? Because they got off the path. They got away from God. He says when they come back and when they realize what they've done, they confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house. He says, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. You understand that, folks? What's he talking about? He's talking about the steadfastness of God. He's talking about the faithfulness of God. At no time during this whole passage of Scripture does Solomon ever accuse God of abandoning his people. God is still on the old path, folks. He's still in the good way. We're the ones that keep leaving. Look down here at verse 35. He says, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain, again, because God doesn't care about his people. Nope. He says, because they have sinned against thee. He says, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name, he says, and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them. Amazing. What's happening again? The people are coming back to the old paths. The people are coming back to the good way. Listen, look at verse 36. Then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel. Oh, we read this last week. No, it wasn't. It was 2 weeks ago. He says, that thou teach them the good way. Teach them the good way. Wherein they... Say it with me. Should walk. Folks, God is not a God of second chances. He's a God of infinite chances. I don't think I'd like to serve God if he was just a God of second chances. Because I'd have been done a long time ago. And so would have you. Folks, we're the ones that go astray. We're the ones that walk off the path. We're the ones that get separated from God. God doesn't separate from us. He stays on the old path. Guess what? You know where to find him. Just go back to the old paths. Just go back to the good ways. Because that's where we should walk. Take your Bibles and turn over to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Look at Psalm 143. We'll read this whole psalm because, you know, it's only 1 minute past 12. I'm sure your reservations will be good for a half an hour one way or the other. If not, you can come to my house. My wife fixed a humdinger of a lunch. It's chicken, not hummingbird, though. All right. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thine hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, and my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift my soul unto thee. Folks, our dark and distresses and times of despair going to cause us at times to leave the old path? Sure they are. But what are we to do? We're to ask for the old paths. We're to turn to God and say, God, deliver me. God, teach me. God, show me the path so I do not depart from it because I'm supposed to walk in it. Did anybody ever mention that life was easy? Did anybody ever mention that the old path was without any kind of pitfalls or difficulties or struggles? No. But that's where God is, and that's where I want to be. Because He will sustain me, He will uphold me, He will care for me, He will be everything I need Him to be. But at the first sign of trouble, at the first sign of difficulty, what do in our human nature? We bail. Do you suppose being an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, King James-only, independent, Bible-believing Baptist preacher is an easy path? It's not an easy path. You know why I walk it? Because it's the right path. It's the old way. It's the good way. Do you think it's very popular these days? Folks, let me be lovingly and kindly honest. Look around. Would I like our church to be 400 or 500 strong? Yep. I would. Is it? Nope. Why? Because it's not an easy path. I'm just being honest. Does that mean I'm going to give up and roll over? No way. Yeah, you know me. I'm a little bit of a fighter. Not a brawler. I'm a fighter. The Bible says I'm not supposed to be a brawler. That doesn't mean I'm a wimp. Okay? Listen to me. No. Hey, we've got some folks here. They were reached on our week of soul winning. I'm so glad they came today. It's great to see them here. We're going to go out and try to get as many people as we can. Because I want them to enjoy the good way. I thought you said the old paths and the good way wasn't always easy. It's not, but it's fun. Why? Because God's there. You say, you're twisted, you're weird, you're crazy, you're strange. Yes, 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 and yes. And I'm glad to be. Because that's where God is. It's His path. It's His way. And even though there's darkness and difficulties and things are overwhelming, David said in his psalm, he says, hey, teach me in these paths that I should walk. Take your Bibles and turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're almost done. And I'm not trying to give you false hope. Yesterday, Brother Ogdy, we were over at the youth rally. He asked if anybody had traveled over an hour to get there. And we had. It was an hour and 10 minutes because of traffic. And an hour and 10 minutes is over an hour. I was being honest. So then he makes mention that those people get to go first for pizza. Hallelujah. And then he said, oh, maybe I should go based on the length of the time that your preacher preaches. And he said, do any of you have a long-winded preacher? I raised my hand. So, anyways. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 1. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, catch this, even so we also, what is it? Ha ha. Should walk in newness of life. Hey, let me just ask a question today that I think that Paul makes very clear. Why are you walking in any other path? God forbid. Don't go off to the right hand or to the left hand. Don't go following a different path because of any other reason. Stay in the old paths. Stay in the good way. Don't leave it. Don't forsake it. Don't get out of it. He says, we're dead to that stuff. Those old paths are closed. I'm sorry, the other paths are closed. The old path is the only one open for me. As I'm going down through life and I'm walking with God in the old path, this path that used to be there in my old life no longer exists. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Why would you crawl over the barricade that has caution, road closed, to walk down that path? For the Christian, those paths of sin, those paths of the past, are closed because of Jesus Christ. There's a barricade there with flashing lights that say, danger, warning, do not cross. Yet we cast aside the barricade and we go down those old paths as a dog returns to its vomit. As a pig returns to the wallow. Why would we do that? Why would we go? He says, I don't understand this. You're dead to those things. You have newness of life that you should walk in. Folks, we should walk in the old paths. We should walk in the good way of God. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, we know that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. It says here that God, rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we what? Should walk in them. We should. In Jeremiah, God was giving his people an opportunity. He says, stand in the ways. He says, ask me. Ask me for the old paths. Because that's the good way. And then walk in it. Walk in the good way. Walk in the old paths. We should walk in them. Over in 2 John. John writes, grace be with you and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found thy children walking in truth. You know what God does when he sees people walking in the old paths? He rejoices. He's glad that we're walking in truth. And guess what the truth is? As we have received a commandment from the Father. Folks, you understand that this is something we should do. He goes on and says, this is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. We should. We should walk in the old paths. We should walk in the good way. It's where God is. One last passage over in Jude chapter 1. Well, that's not really true. Because there's no chapter 2. You know, you can't have a 1 if you don't have a 2. It's just Jude, verses 17 through 23. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time. Is that true or not? Oh yeah. Now guess what? These mockers, listen to what they do. He says these mockers in the last time. He says who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. You see, why did you bring that last should walk in there? I want to tell you about human nature. It is natural for man to walk in other paths. It's natural. We're cursed. We have a sin nature. And if our flesh, if our carnal man has its way, we will get off that old path faster than you can say any phrase you want to say. We'll jump those barricades. We'll go back to the old ways. We'll go back to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life in a heartbeat. Because we're depraved. Our flesh longs for it. It's pulling us that way. The call of the world is drawing us off of the old path into those old ways. Why? Because it's the paths that they just naturally walk. If we go back to our default, we're going to get off the old path. That's why we have to fight the good fight of faith. That's why we have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's why we have to crucify the flesh. That's why we got to take up our cross and follow Jesus. That's why we got to work at staying on the old paths. I never said it was going to be easy. We've got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We've got to persevere. We've got to be diligent about it. Because guess what? The time that you're not paying attention to it, you're going to be step off the old path. Your foot is just going to kind of magically go, whoop. If you don't keep your steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. Folks, go back to Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. So God says, ask me for the old paths. It is the good way, and then walk therein. Day by day, we should walk in the old path. We should walk in the good way. Why? And ye shall find rest for your souls. You see, but Pastor, you said that this path is sometimes difficult and sometimes hard. But can I tell you something? Perfect rest is only found in God. You remember those disciples were in a boat. The storm was raging about them. Where was Jesus? Yep, sleep on a pillow. What was he doing? Resting. Why was he at peace when the water was coming in the boat and these professional fishermen were crying out, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he's like, what are you talking about? This is a nice storm. Don't you appreciate the lightning and the thunder and the wind? And look, I even got you a little salt water to wash your feet off. Peace be still. Can I go back to bed now? Are y'all okay? Folks, we find rest and perfect peace in God. Where's God? On the old path. We should walk in them. Maybe you're straying today. Get back on the old path. Verse 16 is an invitation, folks. Does God hate his people? No. Have they forsaken him? Yes. He says in the verses before that they don't even blush anymore. They're that far away from God. And yet he's inviting them back to the old paths. He's inviting them back to the good way. He's inviting them back to walk by his side and have peace for their souls. God's never left, folks. Come back to him. Come back to the old paths, because you should walk in them.